We open our Bibles at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 26. Very familiar Christmas reading. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. We thank God for this reading from his word. Going to be reflecting today on the spirit of Christmas, the true spirit of Christmas. I said a moment ago that we received our first Christmas card. To talk about the spirit of Christmas, often for us, we'll think about Christmas cards, Christmas trees, mince pies, Christmas puddings, turkeys, presents, Christmas carols. What else? Father Christmas, family visits, all this kind of thing. We think this is the spirit of Christmas. And yet today I want to reflect on the real spirit of Christmas, the involvement of God in Christmas. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have Christmas at all. And I'm so glad that Claire reminded us that there's the opportunity for prayer at the end of the service. I'm going to tell you what my points are going to be, and then I'm going to fill those points out, as it were, and I'm going to encourage you to receive prayer this morning, because I'm going to talk about plan, God's plan for our lives, a plan that is past, present, and future, God's plan that is to bless us. God's blessing is an invitation to be part of his plan. And this is what Christmas is about. It is about reminding ourselves of God's plan, God's big plan, but God's big plan that comes to be focused upon one individual. And today, that focus is upon you. So God has a big plan, and it's a plan to bless. It's an invitation to be part of his plan. And that comes to focus in each one of us. And if you sense God by his Holy Spirit prompting you, nudging you, speaking to you today about God's plan for your life, then come up and receive prayer. And if those being leading prayer are busy, find somebody else and ask for prayer this morning, that you might be affirmed and blessed in your awareness of what God's plan is for you. So we begin with the sense of God's plan. This is the spirit of Christmas. In the passage that we read, we're told in the sixth month, in verse 26, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And it is this simple phrase, a descendant of David, that immediately might grab our attention. It certainly grabbed mine. Why on earth would Luke give us so much detail about what was happening? Why would he tell us that the angel Gabriel went to Nazareth a town in Galilee? Is it that he wants us to have directions so that we know where Nazareth is, so we can go there ourselves? To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph? Is that important that we have so much detail? And then it says, a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And immediately we have an awareness that God's plan is in action here. This is not just an isolated incident that God is acting upon. This is not something random. And when God acts in your life and my life, it is not just a random act of kindness and of goodness, but it is part of God's plan. God had decided, had determined that he would send the angel Gabriel to Joseph. Why Joseph? Why Mary? Because they were descendants of David. And that was important because it was all part of God's big plan. And that is an encouragement to us that God's plan stretches back way, way into the past. It is not something he dreams up today or in recent past, but in long, long history, God has been acting and engaging with humanity, demonstrating his love to humanity time and time and time again. And God's plan, even when it's focused upon us, has a history, a past. And we're reminded here about the blessing that was given to Abraham, recorded in Genesis chapter 12, when God appeared to Abraham and said to him, Abraham, I want you to leave your home. Where are we going? Just get up and go. How will I know when I get there? How will I know when I arrive? You'll know when you get there. There wasn't much to go on, but God commanded Abraham, just get up and go. And Abraham, in obedience to God, got up and went, not really understanding what God's plan for his life was. But then God said to him, this is my promise to you. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And when this plan of God is focused upon Joseph and Mary, there is this promise, this blessing made to Abraham that is being fulfilled, this blessing to all the peoples of the world. This is God's plan in the past. Last week we read from 2 Samuel 7, a promise that was made to David. David had said to Nathan the prophet, it's not right that I should live in a grand palace, that I should live in such luxury, and yet God, his temple is just a tent. Can I not build a great temple, a magnificent building for God that will reflect his glory? And Nathan said, I'll speak to God about it. And God speaks to Nathan and said, well, David is not the one who will build the temple because he's got blood on his hands. But tell him this. And Nathan is given a message to take back to David, that God will bless David and his descendants. And one day, Nathan says, there will be one of your children who will sit on your throne forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end. And it's all this that is caught up in this awareness of God's plan. It is not something just now. It is not something immediate. It is not something that is random, but God's plan has a past and a history. And when God speaks to you, it is part of that same plan. It has a past, but of course it has a present. When the angel speaks to Mary, she is told, the Holy Spirit will come upon you in verse 35. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. There is a present in God's plan. While there is a past, there is also a present, an awareness that God is acting right now. And when God speaks to us, it is the present. It is now. What does God want for me today? What does God want for me right now? What is my response to what God is saying to me right now in His plan? There is a past and there is a present. And of course, the future the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Looking ahead, he's only a baby now, but there will come a day when your son will be known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is this vast spectrum that we have to understand when we think about God's plan, the past, the present, and the future, looking way ahead. And we are invited to be part of God's plan. And God comes to us and speaks to us that we might understand that we are part of God's plan. And the encouragement today is that God is not ignoring you. God hasn't passed you by on the other side, but God has a plan for your life. You might know it already very clearly, and you might already be thinking, well, this is what God's plan for my life is. This is my response to what God has shown me that I need to do. And it might be that God has shown you a long time ago what God's plan is for your life, and you responded once, but you've drifted away. And today, it may be your reminder to pick up that response again. God's plan that we see in the Christmas story has a past, a present, and a future. And for you, you might have let it go, but you may need to pick it up again. And thinking about God's plan, Claire, a few moments ago, read from Colossians and chapter 1. And this, of course, is the vast canvas of the plan of God. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. This is the vastness of God's plan, that he will reconcile all things back to himself. Everything that is spread out and gone its own way, God's plan is to bring it all back together in the Lord Jesus. So God's plan has a past, a present, and a future. When God speaks to you, when God encourages you, this is not a random act, but it is part of a great plan that is leading somewhere. But God's plan is, of course, to bless. God doesn't come to you in order to chastise you, to tell you off, to tell you how rubbish you are, to tell you how you've got things wrong. God comes to you to bless you. And I love the way in which the angel speaks to Mary. In verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could sense that for ourselves? Greetings, you who are highly favored. And that awareness of the love of God for each one of us, the love that never ends and never fails and never gives up. You who are highly favored, and then later on, you have found favor with God. These are the words of the angel, a blessing. And that is God's plan. It is to bless. And we see, as I mentioned a few moments ago, God's blessing to Abraham, where he said, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And this is God's plan. It is to bless, to do you good, to open up the gates of heaven and let all the goodness of heaven fall upon you and rest upon you. And this is our encouragement today, that God has a plan, and that's revealed again in the true story of Christmas. God has a plan, and when he speaks to us about his plan, encourages us to be part of his plan, it is not just an isolated act, but it's to call us into God's big plan for all of creation, to reconcile all of creation to himself. And his plan is to bless. God's plan is to bless. When he comes with instructions, when he came to Mary, "You're going to be with child, give birth to a son." No doubt there was lots of wondering about this particular task, this call to be part of God's plan. And yet it was a plan to bless, that Mary might be all that she could possibly be, that she might discover who God truly was, that she might discover who she truly was, that she might use her gifts and abilities to the full, that she might be honored in herself and she might honor herself. And this is what God's blessing would mean for her. And God's plan is to bless us, to help us to uncover, to reveal, to see who we are, who God is, who we can be, and to live within that plan. So I said we have God's plan. God's plan is to bless. And thirdly, God's blessing is an invitation to be part of his plan. The angel said to Mary, "The Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And we may think, well, hang on, did Mary have a choice? Did Mary have a choice when the angel said, "You're going to be with child because the Holy Spirit will come upon you"? Could she have said no? Could she have said no? And when God speaks to us and says, "This is what I have for you. This is who you are. This is your gift, your ability and your talent. And I want you to use that gift, ability or talent for me, because this will form a wonderful part of my big plan that had begun many, many years ago and will continue way into the future." Do we have the opportunity and the possibility of saying no to God? And I want to say, yes, we do. We do have the opportunity. Each one of us, we're completely free to say yes to God or to say no to him. But the encouragement is, God is here to bless, to help us come to the best that we can be, to understand who God is, that we are loved and cherished by him. And so the angel says, "The Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you." If you have any doubts about what God will do and if it can happen, the angel says, "Nothing is impossible with God." And then these very important words, "May it be to me as you have said." This is Mary's response. "May it be to me as you have said." That critical moment. And every time I read this, I think, did Mary know what she was letting herself in for? Did Mary know what she was letting herself in for when she said yes to God? Did she know that her heart would be torn as she saw Jesus grow and be mistreated? When she saw Jesus being arrested and crucified? Did she know what lay in store? And yet that moment of saying yes is a great moment. And it's a great moment for each of us when we think foolishly, we say yes to God and what he has for us. And often it is something he said before, and we need to be reminded of it. God's blessing is an invitation. Be part of my plan. Take your gift, your talent, your ability, and use it for God. Be part of God's plan, just as Mary was part of God's plan. So these three things, God's plan, it has a past, a present and a future. It is a vast plan. And when God speaks to you about what he wants you to do, what he's calling you to do, it is not random. It is not isolated, but it is part of his glorious, vast plan. It is a plan to bless you, to do you good, to bring you into the wholeness of who God has created you to be. And God's blessing is an invitation to be part of his plan. You can turn it down. You can say today, "Do you know, not today. Not today. Another day." You can say that. We're all free to do that. But the invitation of God's blessing to be part of his plan is there for each of us today. We're going to pray. And I pray very specifically that God might remind us of what his plan is for us. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you that in the story of Mary, there is a reminder of the vastness of your plan. When the angel Gabriel went to that small town and went to that young woman, probably unknown outside of her wider family, you invited her to be part of your vast, glorious, wonderful plan. And Father, thank you that that plan is to bless us, to bless each one of us as we take your word and we respond to it. As we take our gifts, our abilities, our talents, as we take our character, as we take everything that we are and we apply it to your promise, your call to be part of your plan. Father, we pray that we would be honest this morning and we would be open and ready to respond. Gracious Father, help us, even if at this point, knowing what the plan is you have for us, if we want to put it on one side, help us to be honest about that. And if we want to respond, help us to respond courageously and with all of our heart. May your blessing rest upon us this morning, that there might be the fullness for us of joy that comes as we respond to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I do encourage you, after we've sung a hymn and received a blessing, respond. Come and receive prayer. Turn to somebody else and receive prayer. Perhaps you need to just turn to the person close to you and say, do you know what? I think this is what God's plan is for me. And in that way, seal it for you. We're going to stand as we sing Mary's song. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord, unnumbered blessings.